Good morning, everyone. Again, always an honor and a privilege to bring you the message from God's Word. And I pray that you're doing well, and that you've made the preparations that you need to during these trying times. And you know, we can always go to the Lord for guidance and in prayer. And today we're going to end this disastrous book in God's Word, because the Lord is always honest and gives an honest word about His people. And we're going to finish up in the book of Judges, chapter 21, the last chapter today. And just like the book began in disaster, it will end in disaster. And again, it is a warning for us, and there's always application, proper application from it. And we can always apply this in the way that we need to our current situation. And we see that we are far from perfect, but God will offer us guidance as He sees fit. But you need to pray. You need to ask. That's the main thing. And when you go to the Lord in a situation, don't start with prayer. Get some answers that you like, and then stop asking Him for guidance. And we're going to see this is exactly what Israel has done since the beginning of the book of Judges. And the book will finish like this, where they'll pray now and then and seek the Lord's answer and then lean on their own understanding, as we're warned not to in Proverbs. We'll be looking at that today. And create a disaster themselves. And then turn around often and blame God. Now, why don't we judge them? Because we've all done this before in our own lives. We like to pray for things that we think are important, and then for other decisions, we lean on our own understanding. But if there's one lesson that I want to bring out today, constantly pray, meditate, contemplate on God's Word before you take on a situation, whether it's a small one or a large one. So we want to constantly be seeking the Lord's guidance in His Word, and then, of course, meditating on the Word in prayer. So let us pray. We'll get into the final chapter. And I am grateful to God that we've worked through this book. And it's especially at this time, with what our nation is going through, what I see many friends and family going through. This was not an easy book to look at. You're kind of looking in the mirror with this book. Very tough. And I'm glad that we're able to get through it, and I'm also glad that it's finished. This week is just as tough as last week to get through with the message, because it's very serious and, again, reminds us of our own weaknesses, including myself. So let's pray to God, and then we'll continue with the message. Lord Jesus, we ask, again, that you would guide us, Lord, guide our hearts today. I ask that you would guide my speech, that I would only glorify you and you alone, and that the praise would go to you and to the Father and to the Spirit. So we ask, Lord, in your name, that you would guard my lips, that I would only speak good things from your word, Lord, and that it would be a fruitful message today. And we always thank you, Lord, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. So in Judges chapter 21, you could turn there now. A brief message today. A lot to think about and digest, but not a lot to work through. So if you remember from chapter 20, just to summarize so you know where we're at, the tribe of Benjamin is almost wiped out. The reason why is we have the wife of a Levite, a concubine, who's gang raped by lawless men in Benjamin. We said these are the LGBTQ type groups that are out of control. Benjamin refuses to control the perverts in the land. Israel goes up to battle. They're blessed by the Lord for the battle, but they don't continue in their prayer, and they do things to Benjamin that are overcompensation, that we're going to see it's more than restitution. And this is what happens when you get an answer from God and then you stop praying and don't get the complete picture from the Lord. So that's where we're at. Israel over-responds to the sin of Benjamin and what it allowed within their land, they almost wipe out the entire tribe. So now they're stuck with an unmitigated disaster of their brethren, and a whole tribe is almost wiped out. I mean, there's roughly 600 men left to continue the tribe of Benjamin, and this is where we're at. And we're going to see that in chapter 21, the elders in Israel do not inquire of the Lord at all in prayer, and their solution to get wives for the men that are left in Benjamin is equally horrendous as the other decisions they've made without God's counsel. And it's a type of gymnastics that many groups, even those who want to be called by God's name, do to feel like they're following God's word when they're not. So let's read it. Let's get into this. And I want to make sure we get through it all. This is a part of Judges that's not often preached about because it's extremely embarrassing and hypocritical to everything that God stands for and what his people should stand for. But that's why the title of today's sermon is, You Must Pray to Obey. You must pray to obey. You must have solid guidance from the Lord and his word to be able to accomplish his will. So don't do partial prayer, a little bit of prayer, mensa prayer. We want prayer all the time. Because, and I'll give you a quick example. You might have a friend with a drinking problem, and you confront them in the Lord, and God wants you to confront them, of course, to help them with the situation, and they actually respond. They say, you know what? I am doing the wrong thing. I do want to get closer to the Lord and his will. I do want to stop the drinking, okay? Then you start praying, and you start thinking, well, there's an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting in the area. It's close by. I think they'll go to that before they go to a church group type recovery meeting, which we have. We've had a Fellowship Baptist Church for years, Addictions Victorious. So I'm going to recommend Alcoholics Anonymous. Now, sending them to Alcoholics Anonymous is like sending them to a Masonic meeting where you're allowed to believe in the God of your own understanding. So praying at first, things worked out. You confronted your friend. God blessed it. And they've recognized their sin and what they're doing to themselves and their family. They want to stop abusing alcohol. But then, leaning on your own understanding, you figure, well, there's a better chance, because they're not a strong believer, that they'll go to an AA meeting, Alcoholics Anonymous meeting. So now you just screwed it up. You're leading them into a world of confusion, because they might leave those AA meetings and they might recover from the alcohol problem, but they'll be in worse shape because they might become a New Age type believer or a modern evangelical type leader, a believer where and believe all religions are equal, and you know one path is for you and this Christian path is for me, and Jesus isn't the savior of all. So this is exactly what the elders in Israel do when it comes up for a solution to restoring the tribe of Benjamin. Well, why listen to me? I'm nobody. Let's listen to the Bible. Let's listen to God's word. So first we'll be reading verses 1 through 7 in Judges. We'll see what the problem is. So as we read chapter 21, and the men of Israel had sworn in Mizpah, saying, there shall not any of us give his daughter unto Benjamin to wife. And the people came to the house of God and abode there till even before God, and lifted up their voices and wept sore, and said, O Lord God of Israel, why has this come to pass in Israel, that there should be today one tribe lacking in Israel? And it came to pass in the morrow that the people rose early and built there an altar, and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. Remember, they didn't pray. It was mourning, but they didn't ask for a solution. And the children of Israel said, who is there among all the tribes of Israel that came not up with the congregation unto the Lord? For they had made a great oath concerning him that came not up to the Lord to Mizpah, saying, he shall surely be put to death. The children of Israel repented them for Benjamin their brother and said, There's one tribe cut off from Israel this day. How shall we do for wives for them that remain, seeing we have sworn by the Lord that we will not give them of our daughters to wives? So this is the beginning of the chapter. So we see in the final chapter of the book of Judges, the ultimate disaster has taken place. The Israelites are mourning the near annihilation of the tribe of Benjamin. God did not command them to perform this act, but they blame him as if he did. They now want to find wives for Benjamin to rebuild the tribe without breaking the oath not to provide wives from their own people. Okay, so this is almost like a chapter in legalese. There's a lot of different themes and schemes running through here in the last chapter, and I want you to get it. So all the children in Israel said, because of Benjamin's wicked, we won't give them wives from any of our tribes. But at the same time, they want to build back Benjamin, the tribe. So how are they going to do that? How are they going to get wives? Not by asking God for an answer, but of course by scheming, by leaning on their own understanding. So they almost wipe out Benjamin, which God did not counsel them to do. He told them to go to war with them. But just like in many civil wars and nations, people go overboard. War is unpredictable. War is always the last solution. It always leads to disaster, and especially when you don't ask God of his counsel. And this is exactly what happened. So they treated the Benjamites almost worse, well, actually worse than they did some of the Canaanite tribes in the land. They weren't asked to do so. So, of course, when we make mistakes, who better to blame than God, which many of us do, including myself, even though we shouldn't. And this is what they do. So we can relate to this. We lean on our own understanding. We handle a situation. And even though we didn't ask God for complete guidance, when it goes wrong, we blame him. How convenient. And I will admit that I've done that myself many times. And it's something we shouldn't do. So now the scheming starts. Now they get all their minds together. How are we going to work ourselves out of it? And we'll see, this is something we shouldn't do, and you'll get this in the PDF. Our cross-reference in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. Remember, this is the instruction of Solomon, and it is actually David to Solomon. It's recorded for us. And what are we told? My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. And the last verse, which we want to focus on, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. So God warns us, don't try to figure out everything on your own, because you are fallible. Come to me first, and I'll guide you through prayer and through my word, not through a charismatic vision or a feeling you had in your stomach because you drank too much coffee or ate too much pizza, but real concrete guidance from God's word. And that's what many churches are lacking today. A study and a love for the word. You will get every answer from the Bible, whether it's geopolitical, socio-historical, or just what you should do for entertainment today. All the answers are there, and it is our grid for truth. So do pagans have truths? Of course they do, because they're made in the image of God, and it would make the Bible a lie if all of mankind didn't have certain truths. But there's only perfect truth in God's revealed word in the Bible. And it is our standard. So you could read Plato, Aristotle, you could read Averroes, you could read the Hindu Vedas. You'll get some good guidance, some truth that they were able to see being made in God's image and having the law of God written on their hearts. But you won't get the full picture. And you'll get just as much bad advice and guidance that can destroy your life. So we always go to the Word. So as we continue in Judges, let's read now verses 8 to 18. Look at this brilliant scheme that the tribes come up with. And they said, "What one is there of the tribes of Israel that came not up to Mizpah to the Lord? And behold, there came none to the camp from Jabesh-Gilead to the assembly. For the people were numbered, and behold, there were none of the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead there. And the congregation sent thither 12,000 men of the valiantest, and commanded them, saying, Go and smite the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead with the edge of the sword, with the women and the children. And this is the thing that ye shall do. Ye shall utterly destroy every male and every woman that hath lain by man. And they found among the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead 400 young virgins that had known no man by lying with any male, and they brought them up to the camp to Shiloh, which is in the land of Canaan." So their brilliant solution to get Benjamin wives is to ransack, kill their own people, and take the virgins from this group of their own people. And now they don't break their oath to God, because they said they wouldn't willingly give wives to the children of Benjamin from Israel. But they smash a group within their own people and steal these wives, and take these virgins, kill everyone else, worse than what they have done to many of the Canaanite groups who weren't of their people. And this is how they're going to provide women for Benjamin to rebuild the tribe. So boy, wouldn't you have loved to have been a fly on the wall for that elders and deacons meeting that came up with this solution of murder and mayhem, victimizing their own tribe, someone from their people who did not show up to Mizpah for the meeting. And again, this is in the outline. I said there's a lot of scenarios to get here, but I want you to understand it. So the elders come up with this brilliant idea to victimize a negligent group within their nation. Since the people of Jabesh-Gilead did not show up for the meeting over Benjamin at Mizpah, they will be treated like Canaanites. They will be slaughtered except for the virgins in that group. Since the women are being forcefully taken, no Israelite is guilty of giving women to Benjamin. How brilliant. What a disaster. And that goes for all of us. We have to be careful who we listen to. Make sure we're shown from God's word that what we're being told to do is actually lawful from God's word before we do it. So that's the second point. And again, this the PDF will be provided so you can work with this yourself in a Bible study or home church or whatever you want to do with it. So yes, and it only... But wait, there's more. It's a horrible book. It only gets worse to read, but God gives it to us as a warning, because none of us are above these people. So now we will finish the chapter, verses 19 through 25. We see it only gets worse. Then they said, "Behold," because they need more women now, so they got to get even more. "There is a feast of the Lord in Shiloh yearly in a place which is on the north side of Bethel, on the east side of the highway that goeth up from Bethel to Shechem, and on the south of Lebona. Therefore they commanded the children of Benjamin, saying, Go and lie in wait in the vineyards, and see, and behold, if the daughters of Shiloh come out to dance in dances, then come ye out of the vineyards, and catch you every man his wife of the daughters of Shiloh, and go to the land of Benjamin. And it shall be when their fathers or their brethren come unto us to complain, that we will say unto them, Be favorable unto them for our sakes, because we reserve not to each man his wife in the war. For ye did not give unto them at this time, that ye should be guilty. And the children of Benjamin did so, and took them wives according to their number, of them that danced, whom they caught. And they went and returned unto their inheritance, and repaired to cities, and dwelt in them. And the children of Israel departed thence at that time, every man to his tribe and to his family. And they went out from thence, every man to his inheritance. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes." And that is the summary of the book, Israel begging for a king. All of us begging for a king. We need it, but not an earthly king, the Lord Jesus Christ, the true Mashiach, the Melech HaOlam, the real king of the world, the one who will guide us through everything through his word and through his spirit, through the Holy Spirit he gives us. So yes, we all need a king. For those of us who truly believe, we have a king, and his name is Jesus the Christ. So we see in the end, Israel once again does not consistently consult God for answers, and their solutions to a problem is disastrous. Now think about this from the previous chapter. For the tragic killing of one concubine, thousands are killed, a tribe almost wiped out, and approximately 600 women kidnapped as restitution for the murder of one concubine. So please, let's all learn to lean on God's word, to ask him for answers. It's exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ teaches us as he spoke this to the apostles. Turn me to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. That will be our cross-reference for the point we're trying to make at this time. John, chapter 14, verses 1 through 14. Jesus speaking to the apostles. When they're confused, when they need answers, he tells them, these are the words of our Lord, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye now, and the way ye know." Thomas said unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. But from henceforth ye know him and have seen him." Philip saith unto him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." Jesus saith unto him, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." So when you need something done, when you need answers, when you're within God's will, go to the Lord for guidance. Do not lean on your own understanding. All of the Anglo establishment, the European world, is being destroyed right now because the leaders of our people group are leaning on their own understanding instead of being humble, saying, "Lord, we have sinned by turning our backs on you, by building a financial system based on usury, by believing that this world cannot hold the population it has, by teaching people evil lifestyles and perverting them to bring the population down. Lord, we're sorry. All these answers that we've come up with, they're evil. Help us, Lord." Instead of doing that, they're going to double down, just like the Benjamites, just like we see the nation of Israel in the book of Judges. They will continue to lean upon their own understanding until they are destroyed. And that's why you and I need to be prepared and to continue to prepare for God's judgment upon them, for not simply asking him, but leaning on their own understanding, coming up with these insane answers just like the elders in Israel did, their answer to get wives from the tribe of Benjamin was to victimize their own people and steal the women. Instead of going to the Lord and asking him, Lord, we know we made an oath not to give them any wives of ourselves, but how can we fix this? These schemes never end. So when you ask yourself, why are we being destroyed financially, sociologically, spiritually? Because we think we know better than God. And it's as simple as that. And instead of leaning on the Holy Ghost, whom Jesus sent when he descended into heaven, we have a counselor that guides our hearts and our ways as we read the word and pray. We lean on our own understanding, or some other expert we're going to listen to who has completely messed up life themselves, but you're going to listen to them. So let's lean on God's understanding. Let's learn from the book of Judges. Let's not just judge them for what they've done, but be careful ourselves. And I leave you with that word today. God bless you. Until we meet again, I pray this message will be close to your hearts. And 50 sermons later, we made it through the book of Judges. And all of us can glean from this, especially at this time. The Hebrew people in the book of Judges is the United States of America and Europe right now. They try and talk to God only when it's convenient and constantly lean upon their own understanding and make their problems worse instead of better. Amen. Almighty God, the great and living God, we thank you, Lord, that we have your word for guidance. We thank you that we have your Son, who's paid for our sins, who is now King of the world, who has made a right relationship for us with you. And we thank you so much, Lord, that your Son sent us the Paracletos, the Holy Spirit, the great Comforter, who will give us wisdom if we ask for it in your Son's name. And we ask that today, Lord, for wisdom during these difficult times. And we ask in your Son's name, the Lord Jesus Christ, our King. Amen. Be well. God bless you. Lord willing, we'll meet again next week. And again, I don't preach at you. I preach to you. I'm preaching to myself. And I carry the same burdens and struggle with the same sins you do. But we can all be encouraged that Jesus is overcome, and we can be overcomers with him. Amen.